You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The Eagles are at the podium, and we've got it covered thanks to the fine folk at SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. I am your host, Michael Kist, and in our attempt to bring you every nugget possible from the Eagles training camp, of which we are now 3 days deep into, we have some fresh press conferences for you, two in total, with Eagles defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz up first from when he spoke to the media on Friday. Then after the break, it'll be offensive coordinator Mike Groh from his question-answer session on Saturday. So the Eagles have the day off today, which is a Sunday, so no after-practice thoughts via BGN Radio today. But they return to action tomorrow and throughout the week, so make sure you're subscribed on whatever app you're using to listen to this and follow BGN_radio on Twitter to get updates when new shows are dropping into the feed. All right, let's hear what Schwartz and Groh had to say when they were at the podium.
It's, you know, is it hard to put together what you want to put together without some key people?
It is what it is. I mean, it's just life in training camp. I think I'd rather them be missing now than be missing during the season. So you got to take that kind of approach when guys are coming back from injuries and not try to rush them and get them out there too soon. Sometimes, you know, you need to be a little bit more patient, and long-term coaches generally don't have a lot of patience, but sometimes it's warranted.
Did you shed any light on why Craven LeBlanc didn't practice today?
It was injury related.
Okay. What's it on you adding Matt Murphy to the coaching staff?
Yeah, you know, another guy that's been a coordinator, gives me another set of eyes. He'll be up in the box during games. You know, just give us a different perspective. You know, we've been 3 years in the same defense. We're in the fourth. Getting some new blood is never a bad thing. I got a background with him, but we also parted for a ways. So appreciate new insights and stuff like that. He's not coaching a position. He's sort of over the top. But it helps me because I'm sort of over the top too, but there's only so much you can see at one time. And gives me a trusted coach that I've been with that can help me with that stuff.
Jim, with pass interference now being reviewable and challengeable, do you have to be a little more careful in what they do?
No, I think you still coach with good technique. You coach good technique, and the players play with good technique. And you just realize that some things are going to look different in 4K slow motion replays than they do on the field. You know, and that's it. It puts more on the plate of Doug and his staff whether to review a play offensively or defensively, but it really doesn't change our coaching. Before we weren't trying to get away with anything. We weren't trying to, have sneaky fouls that nobody saw. So you still keep coaching the same way, but it does have more on not just Doug and his staff, but every coach around the league when it comes to whether to challenge or whether not to, because they're big plays.
It seems like they're going to see elements of both offensive and defensive interference in a lot of plays.
Yeah, and that's the way it's always been. We're just gonna have to see how they officiate it and try to play to that. We said a long time, it doesn't matter what I think as a coach. It doesn't matter what a player thinks. It doesn't matter what you guys think. It's what the officials think, and that's what we need to play to.
Jim, I know it's early to rotate guys at this point, but just in general, your thoughts on corners playing inside versus outside and length, because Avante has looked very good, but he's still a shorter guy, so how does that affect when he's outside?
You know, I think it's different in a lot of ways. You see some slots in this league that are real short, quick guys, and then you see other guys that are big physical guys. I think it helps us to have different body types that can play in there. There's different schemes we can do to try to mitigate that a little bit, but pretty much, you know, there's a big value in versatility. There's big value in being multidimensional, and corners that can play physical and also have the quickness to be able to match up on some of those guys. And you mentioned Vontae. You play with good technique. You can mitigate some height advantages sometimes. Time your jump really well. You know, those kind of things. So we'll continue to have guys play inside and outside. It's important to us. You know, over the course of the year, you're going to have guys press into duty at positions they may not have played in the game at before or practiced at. It's just, you know, it's all part of the same thing. I mean, Malcolm played seven different positions for us last year in defense. In a game, he played seven different positions. Not everybody can do that, but the ability to play two is a big, and that's not just secondary. That's linebackers and that's D-line. You know, it's just it things that comes up from matchups, like you mentioned, or just necessity.
Expectations on Derek Barnett. I mean, being that, you know, Michael Bennett and Chris Long aren't back, and you know he's been hurt, and obviously, you know, do you have pretty high expectations for him?
Well, yeah, I don't know if there's any higher expectations. I mean, we drafted him in the first round. Our expectations are high, and he has rewarded us for that. Made a lot of really key plays, particularly down the stretch his rookie year. I think about, you know, sack strip against Minnesota when they were driving. You know, I mean, they got a chance to tie the game at halftime. Instead, we strip it, we score, we get the ball back quick, we score again, and all of a sudden, you know, the party was on. He's made a lot of plays for us and was playing really at a high level last year before he got hurt. So I don't think his expectations have changed. We expect a lot from all our guys, and he's a key component to that. And it's good to have him back, even though he was limited in what he's done so far. It's good to get him back on the field. He'll be a big contributor this year.
What have you seen so far throughout the spring and, I guess, early on here from Josh Sweat compared to, you know, where he was last year?
Yeah, it's a huge difference between being a rookie and trying to learn and trying to adapt. And it's not just the on-the-field stuff, but the off-the-field. He was battling some injuries. And to come back a second year and have it all under your belt, have the experience of getting a little bit of playing time, you know, you say the game slows down. That's a real common cliche. But I think it's just you just become so much more comfortable and you can see somebody's ability. He did a really nice job through all of our OTAs. But how he contributes this year will be dependent on how he practices in training camp and what he looks like in preseason games. But we're excited about him. He's long. He can play with some power. He's got speed. He's around the passer when he rushes. Because he's so long, there's a lot of good things with him. He just needs to have a good camp, and I think that he's focused to be able to do that. Yeah, I think. I mean, he's strong as can be. You know, he played two gap at Florida State. You know, I mean, you look at him, and he looks like a 400 meter sprinter, but he was, you know, legs wide and squared up and doing those kind of things. He's probably got he's got some of the strongest hands of all our defensive linemen, which. You know, then you start putting him into situations where he can use his speed a little bit more. It's just it's a bonus that a lot of other guys don't have. He's very strong. We feel strong, but we feel strongly about him stopping the run.
Your pass rush group overall is way different than what you had last year in that defensive line. How do you see it? Is it better? Is it not as good? You think you have a lot to prove there?
Yeah, I mean, I think. I say it all the time to our players. The defensive line is the engine that runs this defense. Those guys embrace that. They know that they have to set the tempo for our team, being physical, swarm around the quarterback, chase the ball, you know, all those different things. But I think that, you know, every team's a little bit different. I don't necessarily view one as better than the other. Everybody has a little different strengths and weaknesses, and it's great to have Timmy back. You know, that was one of the guys that, like, that was the first question last year is, like, you know, when is he going to get back on the field? And it was a tough time for him last year, but he's starting from the very first play yesterday. You felt Timmy's presence on the field. Malik, you know, it took Malik a half a minute to understand what we were doing on defense. He's a tough out. He's so long. He's so big in there. He's a really good pass rusher in there. You know, got a guy like Fletch, get a guy like Derek Barnett back. You know, BG healthy. BG wasn't practicing this time last year. I think I'm very optimistic where we can go. And then adding other players, we traded for Hassan Ridgeway. We got the development of Trayvon Hester and Bruce Hector, and Other guys on the outside, not just Josh Sweat, but Joe Osman has really been impressive going through a lot of this stuff. Sharif Miller showed up a little bit yesterday. I think we'll find enough pieces to be able to put it together. It might look a little different than last year, but I think we'll find enough pieces that we can go. You know, we'll see. You know, when you got guys like Malik and Fletch that can rush inside, we might not have to go to having defensive ends inside as much as we did last year and the year before with guys like Brandon Graham and Michael Bennett and stuff like that.
Yeah, why did that not really work out, or how big of a loss is that going to be with him?
Well, like I said, I mean, he was a big contributor last year. I mean, he was around the passer an awful lot, you know, sort of the same way he's been over the course of his career. But, you know, players change. You know, every year you have a different set of characters, whether it's draft picks, whether it's, you know, free agents that you sign, guys that were traded away, whatever it is. And as coaches, we can't dwell on that. We just have to dwell on what we have now and find a way for our production to remain high. Like I said, our defense line is extremely important to us. A guy I probably missed in that whole thing was Vinnie Curry. And I'm really excited to have Vinnie back. Vinnie played a really strong role for us that Super Bowl year. And throughout the spring, he looked as good, if not better, than I've ever remembered him. So I think you'll see big contributions from him too. We'll have plenty of guys to be able to rotate. You guys know we don't play. We prefer not to play anybody too many snaps up there so that we can keep guys fresh and keep them going.
Do you expect to have Fletch back soon?
Well, he's not on any of the injured list. So, you know, again, just be patient and make sure those guys are right. You know, there's no sense, particularly a guy like Fletch, that he's not trying to make the team. You know, let's give him all the time in the world to be able to make sure he's right when he's out there. He's chomping at the bit. He wants to be out there, but sometimes discretion is the better side of valor, is it? Discretions, whatever that quote is, just put that down. And you have to be patient and realize that we're not playing any games right now. The whole thing is to get ready. Training camp is to get ready for the regular season. It's not to you know, win this practice or, you know, put everybody out there that first day. It's to get ready for not just the opener, but the course of 16 games. If we do a good job in training camp, we'll have done that.
All right, thanks, guys.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
You're stating the obvious there, right? It's different because everybody's out there, which is really exciting. You know, we got the ability to come out there and start putting the work in and talking about the details and coaching through the details. And the communication and the trust and all those things are important to playing offensive football.
Mike, how is Nate expanding his role as the number two guy?
Wait, I don't know. Expand his role, what do you mean?
Like, what's different about his role going from the number two, or going from the number three to going to right. number
two? Well, he's one play away from going in the game, obviously. That's the biggest thing. So mentally, you know, he's got to prepare himself like a starter. He's getting more reps. And I think that, you know, maybe just from a practice standpoint would be the biggest difference if you were to ask him. Now, last year at this time, he was getting a lot of reps because of our quarterback situation last training camp. So he's used to getting those reps, but now he knows, okay, I got to be ready to go. I got to be on the detail of each and every play. And he's very studious, he's energetic, and he's a smart guy, and he's done a really good job with that.
This is the deepest group of wide receivers that you've had. I mean, the first four are pretty obvious. But you have a lot of guys out there who look like they can play in the NFL.
That's a great observation, and I would agree with that. Really excited about, you know, that group as a whole. You mentioned, everybody talks about, Alshon, Deshaun, and Nelly, but we've got a lot of depth, guys that have played in this league that have made plays for us or other people that have size and have the skill set that you're looking for at the position. So it's a very competitive position.
Mike, I kind of talked in the offseason about looking at 12 personnel, how to better utilize it. You guys seem to have started these team drills in 12. Is that a conscious effort to...
No, I mean, I think we led the league in 12 personnel last year, so we're very focused on that personnel group. We know that we've got a really strong five group of skill guys, and we're out there when we're in 12, and we feel really confident when we go to 11. So either group we feel really strongly about, and we want to continue to refine what we're doing with those guys. You know, last year at this time, to Zach's point, we were just getting to know Dallas's game, and now we really understand Dallas's strength. So from that standpoint, we're further down the road.
What are his strengths? Can you talk about?
Well, you got a good look at it today. In the passing game, the guy is explosive. He gets down the field in a hurry. He's a big target, and he's got soft hands. He's easy to spot down the field. So we had a really explosive play, a really good looking play there to Dallas. But even more than that, we think that he's continuing his development on the line of scrimmage as a blocker, really understanding the game and the communication that it takes not only to play his position, but, you know, next to the tackle and all the things that they got to get done together. And he was really strong at the point of attack and continued to improve all year long last year.
You've been here, we've seen Nelson Aguilar really blossom these last 2 years, especially. Where's his cap? What else can he do beyond Dion?
Well, I hope he's got a ceiling even higher than what he's been. And like you said, he's had two really, really productive years. He's a guy that is very dependable for us and really probably an unsung hero. In our offense, does a lot of things that a lot of people don't notice, but is recognized by his teammates. So he's willing to do that. He's an excellent teammate. He loves playing here, and he'll do anything that we ask. And I think being surrounded by all the other guys in the huddle only helps him.
What's that trickle down like in that running back room?
Well, I know everybody's excited to have Darren back. Made a lot of plays for us. You know, once he got healthy last season. Down the stretch, helped us win games. He's valuable in that running back room from an experience standpoint, an energy standpoint. You know, he's just a true pro, and we're really lucky to have Darren back.
It turns up the heat, though, doesn't it?
I think competition's really good. I mean, it certainly, if I was in that room, it'd get my attention when we bring him back. Like, he walks in there, there's a guy that's made a ton of plays and potential Hall of Famer.
What are some of the unnoticed things that you mentioned about Nelson Aguilar?
I would probably be talking mostly about, his blocking and things like that, where he really had to do a lot of blocking for us at the point of attack, and he's very willing and tough. He's tough, and he can run all day long.
What's the plan for Vitae this summer?
He's our right guard right now. I mean, we're trying to prepare him that way. You know, we're obviously managing Brandon through his injury, and I'm just trying to prepare to get ready to play in that first preseason game, but also building depth. As you know, as you go through the course of a 16-week season, you're not always playing with the same 11 every week. So we're trying to do two things, kill two birds with one stone.
Dallas Goedert's development. What is it about 12 that you really like? It's a concept.
Well, we think it's a very versatile personnel group. I think more people, on defense. You're not getting base defense as much as you used to. More people playing what we would call a big nickel, so they're bringing a safety into the game rather than a corner, if that makes sense to you. So we still really like that matchup with both of our tight ends on a safety. So that's one of the things, whether it be in the passing game or the running game then. Like you mentioned, Dallas's blocking and Zach's diligence with the blocking as well to be able to run effectively out of 12.
For the first time, you really got to see Miles Sanders these last 2 days, the first time with pads.
Right.
What are your expectations here in the early going?
Well, we drafted him, in that position because we think that he can be a really good player. But I'd still say it's a little early. Haven't, seen a ton of Miles yet. Obviously really liked him coming out of Penn State. and what we've asked him to do here in a limited role early as we're kind of ramping him up and making sure that he gets his legs underneath him has been exciting, been what we thought he would be.
Mike, you have Matt Collins back out. You know what he's gone through to get to this point. What's it mean, you know, to see him out there and moving around like he is?
Well, as his former position coach, I've got a lot of respect for Mac. Guy loves football. He's got a real energy about him each and every day, and he's the same guy. He's like that every day. He really doesn't change. So to persevere like he did through an injury that, you know, most guys don't have, there really wasn't a true definition of it. It was just kind of how you feeling today. And to be able to persevere through that and kind of come out the other side and be back out here with us, I couldn't be happier for Max. I know how much he put into it and how much it means to him.
Boston Scott hearing some praise during the spring.
Yep.
Sproles comes in and everybody thinks he might be the guy that is on the bubble now. What's he been like in the room and out here on the field?
Yeah, I mean, since we got Boston from New Orleans, he's done a really, really good job for us. We haven't done any of the math yet in terms of, you know, making the final roster. So he's got every opportunity to come out here and compete. Made a great catch. Took a big shot there on the sideline. Held on to the football. You know, came in and then had a run there at the end of practice. So you could see the skill set that the guy's got. It's evident. So we're excited to continue to work him in there and see what he can do here in the preseason.
I had the luxury of time with Andre Dillard, but first round pick, how has he looked to you? Is physically impressive as you thought?
Yeah, you know, Andre obviously was one of the quick-footed tackles, real big skill guys, what I like to call those guys up front. And he can kick out, he can pass protect, and you know, he's coming from a different system, so there's a lot of things for him to learn, but he's extremely sharp. He can speak our language. Now he's just this first day in pads in an NFL uniform. So really just on the ground floor with him, but excited about his future.
You had the officials in for the rules change stuff. Mm-hmm. What stuck out to you? Is it pass interference or is it the blindside block thing?
Well, the blindside block really, I mean, we've basically coached it the way that it's being officiated, you know, for the last couple years now. So that's just about guys being smart. And taking some of those violent hits out of the game. And I think that, you know, everybody's on board with that. You get ramped up sometimes. You know, in the heat of the moment, you kind of forget where you are. And those things do happen. But you do your best to try to coach the players out of that from a technical standpoint. You know, like everybody's talking about, the pass interference and how it's going to be officiated. And then, how we're going to manage it throughout the course of a game, whether to challenge or not, hold on to the challenges, all those things. You know, I think that we're going to have to get into the preseason games and use those as a litmus test to try to figure that out. But from a technique standpoint, offensively, we've always tried to coach and play within the rules. You know, we haven't tried to gain advantages by pushing off and all those kinds of things. We've tried to coach the right way and get our players to play the right way. We know that when you slow it down in slow-mo, things can look a little bit different than in the live action. So, you know, it just is an emphasis for us.
We see offenses kind of emphasizing contact now, like in soccer.
You mean like flopping? I hope our game doesn't turn into a bunch of flops, to be honest, yeah.
I mentioned the gym yesterday.
I'm sorry.
I mentioned the gym yesterday, Jim Schwartz, that it just seems that that's going to cause a lot more controversy than we had before, because once they start reviewing it, you'll see elements of offensive and defensive pass interference on almost every play.
Yeah, I think you could probably nitpick on every play, Merrill, to your point. And hopefully it just doesn't slow the flow of the game down, you know, that we just allow it to develop. We work through in the preseason, like any rule change, right? How does it affect me? That's what people want to know. When, you know, anything changes, how is that going to affect me? How is that going to affect us? And, you know, we got to coach through it. We got to learn how they're going to officiate it, and then we have to adapt to it.
It's not as high profile, but it's a point of emphasis, not a rule change. But the backside blocking that they want to
right.
keep holding on.
Yeah.
Have you guys put?
Well, the clips that they showed us yesterday in our meeting with the officials, those were very obvious calls and should be called. And you know, just like we're talking about with the pass interference, you know, it's a way. You know, a lot of those cutoff blocks on the backside, they're hard blocks. You're out leveraged, so the only way to really get a guy in two steps is to grab him, and they're trying to take that out of the game, and I think rightfully so. So we got to just do a good job coaching. Yeah. All right, guys, thank you.
Thank you. ESPN.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.